this meeting to order. Please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Wesnoski?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Councilmember Page has been excused. So I would accept a motion on the agenda.
I make a motion to accept the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would also accept on the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So this is our time for public comments. Persons wishing to address City Council regarding items of new business are encouraged to do so at this time. Please use the raise your hand feature, and once recognized by the chair, you may unmute and state your name and city. For the record, please limit your comments to 3 minutes. For those dialing in, please press 9 to raise your hand and 6 to unmute yourself. Is there anybody wishing to address council?
Mayor, you might state that the raise your hand feature is in the participants area. So if you want to raise your hand, you tap on participants and then you can find the raise your hand. Mayor, do you see
a Melissa, did you want to speak? We can unmute you.
So you have Alicia Bush that wants to speak, Mayor. It looks like she's the only one with her hand up. Oh,
but Melissa Ogles or Melissa. Melissa from the Lumber House wanted to speak, but she didn't know where to raise her hand.
Okay. I'm looking for the hand raising under participants, but I don't actually see it.
You click on participants and it opens up the participants.
Oh.
And then down at the bottom, it says raise your hand.
Mine's in the middle of the screen. I see it.
Okay. So since Melissa was first, I'm going to let her speak first. So why don't you go ahead and unmute yourself?
I think I'm unmuted. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Melissa.
Okay. I'm not sure if this is the accurate place to be doing this, but I'm looking for an opportunity for Black Diamonds, all of our small businesses. I wanted to do a collaboration.
Mayor, could you ask Melissa to identify herself in her
place? Oh, yes. Sorry, Melissa. You need to identify yourself and your city of residence.
Yes. My name is Melissa Earl with Lumber House Brewery, and I am living in Maple Valley, and I do business in Black Diamond.
Okay. Now you can go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Benson. So I'm looking to see if we can do a collaboration with all of our different businesses throughout Black Diamond, whether they be new or pre-existing. And I'm looking to do kind of a feature of small business, kind of like what Enumclaw has been doing with their small businesses, where they do at least, I think it's monthly, they highlight their small businesses and do some kind of soiree where you can be socially distanced, but you can at least feature your small businesses and still drive revenue, income for the city of Black Diamond. I've been in contact with the chamber to see if we can coordinate a Black Diamond featured event where we draw citizens in and let them celebrate our Black Diamond history and, you know, stimulate the small businesses here in Black Diamond. We have a few new ones that I'm close to that we'd like to feature, as well as Lumberhouse would like to help where it can. So that was kind of my initiative for tonight.
Well, public comments is usually we don't participate or answer. So probably what we'll do is we'll get back to you on this issue, and maybe I'll get some feedback from council during the next week so we can figure out how that would work. Because I have most of the businesses' emails, but we have a couple of new emails. I would have to get those. So we will work on that, and I'll be in touch.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Benson.
So Alicia Bush. And if Anna Melissa, if you go back down to raise your hand, you should be able to click on it again and it'll take it down. So Alicia Bush, did you want to speak?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mayor Benson. My name is Alicia Bush. I live in Maple Valley. And I just wanted to make comments expressing my appreciation of this entire council, especially Council Member Wisnowski, I'm so sorry. I just drew a blank. All the council members that have been working so hard on the diversity and inclusion proclamation. This is very important work, and it takes a lot of effort. And so I really appreciate all of the work that's being done and all of the careful consideration that everyone has given. Thank you.
Okay, Scott, you had your hand up.
All right, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council. Scott Hannes, Covington. I'm speaking tonight representing the Public Works Unit for the Teamsters. And I just wanted to comment on the agreement that will be before you tonight. Well, two agreements. And I just wanted to comment on the whole process, how we went through that. And I wanted to express my gratitude to Brenda and her team, as well as council and you, Mayor, for giving them direction as well. I feel like it was a very fair process. It was a good process. Our concerns were heard. And I just thought it was a really positive process the whole way through, and it brings a positive outcome, and I think the staff here with the city will feel really appreciated with this. So I just want to thank you for that and for your consideration tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, we will get on to our next item of business. We have a public hearing on the preliminary budget and revenue sources and possible increase in property tax. Ms. Miller.
Right. Thank you, Council, Mayor. Tonight, this is the public hearing on property tax per Washington State RCW. We need to hold a public hearing to inform the public about our revenues and whether we really need a property tax increase or not, and how much that would be, and the limitations, and what the process would be if we decide to go ahead with that. And even if we don't, what ordinances we need to adopt to go ahead and implement property tax collection for next year. Property tax in Black Diamond is our largest revenue source. And we have three taxes in Black Diamond. One is our property tax, that's 55.6%. Our sales tax, 24.9%. And that's from commercial and new businesses, commercial businesses, and products delivered to Black Diamond that charge sales tax, and our utility taxes, which are charged on our Puget Sound Electric, our cable and telephone, and our city utilities. The revenue on the right, the 2021 budget, you'll see our largest revenue in the general fund is property tax on line two. Next year, we're expecting $2,014,434, and that's an increase of $125,000 over last year. Over $100,000 of that is the new residents who are added to the rolls that will be paying property tax into Black Diamond for the first time next year. As developers that have started building new houses, the builders pay property tax on their new construction. They pay, if they're 0.25% done by July, they pay, they assess them 1/4 of the value of their new construction, 50%, 75% or 100% is usually, they're now ready to sell or they've sold. Once they've sold, the new residents pay property tax. So the primary increase in property tax is not to our existing residents, but to our new residents. So growth is paying for growth. I'll go down and show that our total general fund revenue on line 17 is $7,347,208. And that's operating revenue. We had some odd capital type things that don't add into that. Then on the expenditure side, our total general fund expenditure, $7,749,000. So our revenue is really not keeping pace with our expenditures. And you'll see on line six, public safety is a large part of that. And you'll see the increase there. We added a new officer, a vehicle, and some other costs to police. The $18,000 increase that we would be allowed next year if we increase the regular residents is only $18,000. That no way covers even just the police. You'll see it doesn't even cover the fire department's increase on the line below, nor the court's increase on line six above. So our property tax in Black Diamond, we raised our lid to pay for public safety a few years ago. It went to the citizens, they voted, and our vote specified that all property tax, 100%, would be used only for public safety, and we've kept that commitment. So this next graph shows that public safety and that the revenue that funds public safety is property tax, utility tax, and that's all of these revenues, 100% criminal justice, sales tax, liquor, excise, and profit, all the court fines that we collect, the fire EMS levy, all the business licenses, and all the police grants and Saturday traffic school. That brings in $3,333,000. Yet the expenditures are $3,931,000. So we're already at a deficit of revenue covering expenditures, which is always your goal, of $572,000. So we needed to use other revenue that normally would be used for your other staff to chip in and fund public safety. And we want to try as best we can to keep up our available revenue to fund public safety. Property taxes in Washington State can only be increased by 1%. Tim Iman had a referendum, it was passed many years ago, that allows you to only raise your property taxes to your existing residents by 1%. And they calculate all the values of the house, and they also calculate how you will get up to that 1%. The graph I'm showing right now shows that we do have increased value in Black Diamond. Nearly double what it was in 2014. And you'll see all the new homes being built and the apartments. And that's the new construction. And the new citizens are paying their share of the property tax at the same rate as the existing citizens. Our assessed valuation is definitely increased. New construction, which I spoke about, has really increased around $200,000 a year. And that's really helping to give us some additional revenue to pay some of our additional staff costs. Each person in Black Diamond will pay a different rate of property tax based on the school district. There's various levy rates. If you look at the first line there, if you are in Enumclaw School District, in this levy from last year, they paid $2.88 a thousand. Tahoma paid a little more. Kent paid a little more, and Auburn even more. This can change every year as they go out to the citizens and ask for voter-approved levies for technology or new construction or anything they may ask for. So the primary increases in a person's property tax bill usually are not coming from the city, as cities only get 20% of all the property tax that's collected on your bill. I'll go over the shares of property tax. You can see if you had a home worth $386,000, the bottom line is you could be paying $3,578, and that's last year's amounts. They don't yet have the new amounts set. Of that, the port would get $47. The state schools would get $1,000 of that bill. The fire levy would get $84. King County would collect $466, and they use that for public health, their police, and other of their expenditures. Floods and ferries get $41. The Enumclaw School District, because of their levy, they would get $1,112 of your bill. And the library district would get, and that's our library in Black Diamond, would get $144. So all the other agencies would get $291,911 of your property tax bill. That would leave $666.90, the 20% for Black Diamond. And if you divide that by 12 months, that's $55.57 a month. And that's paying for towards all the police, all of fire, all of court, all of emergency management. So I think that's a pretty reasonable amount on a house in Black Diamond. And I think a lot of residents think we get the whole $3,578 and all the increases are going to us. But most increases all are voted levies and primarily in the school area. If we were to raise our property tax by the allowed 1%, next year we would get $6.67 more in total property tax and 56 cents a month more. That's if your house was only valued at 386. If it's double that, it would be twice that amount. So it could be $1.20 a month on your property tax bill. I think that's a very good rate. I want to talk about how rates are set. King County, just every other year, goes out and values, either they will value businesses 1 year, and all of a sudden they'll say, oh, they're worth more. All of a sudden they pay a bigger share, and maybe residents stay flat or decrease even in their share. The next year, they may do all the residents, and then all of a sudden, the businesses will stay flat. And so it bounces around, because what the county does is say, how much total can you collect? That's your base, plus your 1%, plus your new construction, and that's all you can collect. And they divide it out by how many people are living there and what their value are. And I likened it earlier to, if you had an apartment, you were renting it out for $1,000 a month, that'd be pretty cheap nowadays. And you had four people, each one would pay 25% or $250 a month. If all of a sudden you move two more people in and you divided it equally, that percent would change. and the dollar amount each person would change. And that's how property tax in Washington State works. It's calculated by King County once you've council has adopted the amount they're going to increase. Are they going to keep exactly the same as last year, or are they going to add their allowed 1%? King County sends us a worksheet every year, and it's very complicated. On the left is the values we use in Black Diamond because we're a city under 10,000 population. And it says the first line is our base levy. Last year, we got $1,884,000, and they are going to allow 1%, and now we'll be able to charge $1,903,000. That difference is the $18,000 that we can add. If you go on down a ways, you'll see the new construction. Those people are going to pay, or those new residents will pay $200,801. So that's a nice increase. Then in the lid lift and refunds, we are going to be allowed to collect $1,136 more. And so the block squared out in the middle there that says allowable levy note 6, that's how many dollars they calculate all together with all of these different things we'll be able to collect next year. And then this levy rate, they just divide it and say, okay, it's $1.90 per thousand, whatever your house is worth. And then they go down and increase, well, how many real dollars is that? Because now you're throwing in new construction and everything. And they say, oops, it's not really 1%. You only get 0.72, less than 1%. So those are the amounts that we have to go over with you. And then if we pass our ordinance, I have to pick all these special numbers off that are listed on this worksheet and put them into an ordinance. So there are two ordinances that we would have to pass. And tonight is not the night we're going to pass these. It's in 2 weeks. Tonight is just a public hearing. So the first ordinance says we had a base levy. It's about the third whereas down. It says the $1,884,000 and that our 1% increase is really $18,842 or 0.72%. We have to use their calculated number, and we have less than 10,000 population. And we just have to restate those numbers. We have to also include the 1,136. That's some refund from prior years. And that's our levy for next year. That would be one ordinance that we would have to pass if we go ahead with the 1%. The 1% right now is added into the property tax totals. The second ordinance that we have to have, again, we have to say we're under 10,000 and we've had a public hearing and it's all going to be used for public safety. And then we have to say, what is our assessed value? That's what all the property in Black Diamond is now worth. That's all the residents, all the businesses, all the new construction. That's the value. And then that we have to set a maximum levy that we could collect. And I've included an extra $40,000 in case King County finds more new construction between now and when this closes out by them at the end of November. A couple of years ago, they did come up with more new construction. And every Monday I get a new worksheet and they've either increased or decreased new construction. The county encourages us to add this additional amount because my last sentence in this paragraph says the final dollar amount of property tax is determined by King County and reduced to the actual amount allowed. So whatever they calculate, the 1% and new construction is all that we're going to get next year. And they want us to encourage us to add an amount that allows them to go ahead if they pick up some new construction that we'll be able to tax it. And those are the two ordinances that are up for consideration tonight. And my agenda bill that I have attached just explains that. I did want to say that on my previous worksheets, there was a $1 difference from what's sent out in the packet and what I'm showing you tonight. We had included a budget of $50,000 for COVID in the totals earlier that got mistakenly left in. I've taken it off this worksheet, but it does not affect any of the dollars on these worksheets or any of this ordinance. It's just a technical difference. So tonight we just want to have the mayor open it up, take public comments on whether we want to go ahead with this 1% allowed levy. Sometimes a city could bypass that levy, and then a few years later say, oh, we bypassed 2 or 3 years, now we want to increase it 3% or 5%. But that's, I believe, harder on citizens, because then it's a larger jump in an increase on them. This $18,842 is divided amongst all the values of every piece of property, business, land, new construction of everyone in Black Diamond. So it's a pretty small dollar increase. Any increases a citizen might see on their bill is usually because the county changed the value of their home or because the schools passed a special levy. So with that, I think I'll close and let you ask any questions that you might have, or and then the mayor can open it up for public hearing.
Mayor.
Councilmember Deedy.
So we had a work study before this council meeting on exactly everything that was just discussed. So I wouldn't assume that council would have questions. So I didn't want anybody thinking, well, why doesn't council have questions? We asked all our questions at the last meeting tonight. So I would say go ahead and open.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting as I was kind of rereading it a few times that there was just a little part in the final, I guess, thing we'd be voting on that says something about wind turbines. And I was curious if we could hear more about why wind turbines are specifically line itemed, I suppose, in the ordinance.
Evidently, it's a state ordinance that everyone in the whole state has to adopt. And so there may be some special rules that I'm not aware of on wind turbines.
Yeah. Okay.
And I did want to mention, too, that this has gone to our finance committee and they recommended to bring it to the full council.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So if there's anybody wishing to address this public hearing and address council, could you please raise your hand? Well, seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next item on the
card. Can you hear me? This is Kristen. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Kristen Bryant.
I'm sorry. I keep clicking on the thing to raise my hand, and I must be having a computer issue. I was just wanting to make a short comment on the hearing.
Okay.
Okay. So my name's Kristen Bryant. And I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And I believe you all got an email from me. It was sent today to Brenda, who forwarded it on. So you may or may not have had a chance to see the comment on the budget for 2021 regarding the Ginder Creek head wall.
This pictures- is a public hearing on. This is a public hearing on the property taxes. It has nothing to do with your email from today. That public comment has been received, but it's not part of this.
I'm sorry. I mixed up the public hearing on the budget with the one on the taxes.
It will be no held comment. In two. Public hearing on the tax budget will be in 2 weeks.
Okay. I thought you were taking both tonight, but my mistake.
Nope.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else wishing to address this public hearing? Okay, I will close this public hearing. The next item on the agenda was the inclusivity and welcoming proclamation. And even though council asked to have it put on the agenda, I don't know who's going to be discussing this. So do we have a chairman of the committee?
I can speak.
Yeah, anybody, I think any three of us can speak to it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Christiana, if you want.
Sure. I think, well, when I'm looking at the agenda a little bit, I didn't see necessarily the line item or a place where you'd necessarily be voting. So I think before continuing, I'm curious as to, are we voting on it tonight? Are we just discussing it?
Well, you can, all you need to do is discuss it and then you can make a motion. That's all it takes is to make a motion to accept this proclamation.
Okay. Understood. Well, I guess I can just start off with just saying that it's been a really long journey to be able to get to this point where we've been able to have a really fruitful conversation about what it means to be an inclusive city where we're welcoming this increasing amount of diversity. And I'm hoping and looking forward to our city passing it tonight because, and I know I've made this statement a few other times before, but this is really meant to be an ongoing document. It's an aspirational document that will continue to call us into those conversations in the future. You know, what does it mean when we do have budgets, when we do have these major or even potentially seemingly minor decisions that affect the future of our city, to be able to put inclusivity and diversity and inclusion as that focal point and as that lens is going to be so critical because right now we are still a small city, we're a small community. And for us to be able to embed this kind of language, and again, it's, you know, it is just the language, proactively into this major growth we're experiencing already and about to experience even more, the more I think we'll be really setting ourselves up for that success. And so that we can be able to continue to be called into that discussion, called into that work. So I know part of the conversation we had before kind of creating the final draft was that idea really of opening it up even to our community members, potentially up to the city as a whole, to say, you know, we're gonna sign our names to that tonight, but this is also an opportunity for anyone else to be able to sign on if that is something of interest so that this can be a collective in city work. You know, council members, mayors, staff, we come and go. But of course, you know, as our city continues to grow, it's how we continue to make the kind of language that's in this document here alive and keep it alive as we're continuing to move forward. So that's what I would be saying. I'm looking forward to anything else that my fellow council members would like to say otherwise. And then otherwise I'm looking forward to that, to making that motion to pass it.
Council Member Stout.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the process and not to belabor this point. We've talked quite a bit about it, but we have kind of come to a final point right here, which I think we're really happy with. I will start by saying that this document is not perfect, because the topic is really complicated. We did take some comments and recommendations from council members, some of which we included or changed language and some of which we did not, because as a committee in our discussions, we felt like we were going in a certain direction and we wanted to keep heading in that direction. I will say that we left out the piece about the history of Black Diamond because we have an actually pretty complicated history here in Black Diamond. And we didn't feel like this was the document that could address all or any of our past history. We're not trying to do that right now. We're trying to talk about the here and now, the present. I will also say that I think most people are good people and are well-intentioned and have no thought of hurting or discriminating against or leaving out other people. But I think that with our own backgrounds and history, or not really history, but our own personal experiences, sometimes we don't know or understand what is hurtful. And so I hope that we can all give each other a certain amount of grace. I hope that we can all stand up for others who are being misused or hurt in any way. I know that there have been recent incidents in our own community, in our own school district, in which children and individuals have been hurt because of who they are. And this is what we're talking about in this document, that we're all going to sign on to make an effort to truly be inclusive of everyone. I heard a statement recently in a church setting that said, once you know a person's story, it's really hard to not care for them. Everybody has a story, everybody has a background, and we may have our differences, but we also have the ability to care for each other in whatever it is that we've been through. So that's all I have to say about the process and about this imperfect document, but the best that we could do. We did put a lot of time and effort and consideration into the final piece. We did have it reviewed by David Linehan as our city attorney to make sure we weren't getting ourselves in any kind of trouble by making a certain kind of statement. And I would ask if one of the other committee members would like to read out the entire document, and then other council members could comment and we can decide whether we want to vote on this or not.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of mirror some of what Councilmember Stout said. This is not a perfect document. I don't think any document like this is perfect, right? It is not a, this is not a, a thing that stops on this day, right? This is something we have to live day to day, and something that will evolve over time and that we ask all of the city to join us in. It was a really good process, a long process. We did spent lots of hours kind of going through this word by word and figuring out paragraph placement and that kind of thing, and what it meant to say this before this and this after that, right? So it was a lot of work and a lot of really heartful process that went into it. It's been great working with Councilmember Stout and Councilmember De Leon on this. And I really think it's something that our city can be proud of. It's not a rubber stamp from, you know, any out of a book somewhere or anywhere else. It's not what our neighbors did. It's something that is purely Black Diamond. And it is something that I think we can be proud of to hang on the wall in the office somewhere. As I think, I don't remember if it was Councilmember De Leon or Councilmember Stout mentioned something about, you know, getting the rest of the city to sign on. You know, we actually talked about maybe printing up a really big version of this and putting it somewhere that once we can figure out the social distancing and all that good stuff, right? Have people come and sign it, kind of like you do, you know, big banners and stuff like that for like when the Seahawks win. I mean, come on, if you can come down and sign a banner for the Seahawks, this is something we can all sign up for. So that's a thought we're thinking about, right? How we can make this include, we don't want the message just to be from the city council, and definitely not just from the three of us that were on this little subcommittee, right? We really want this to be a message from all of Black Diamond that you are welcome here. So I would be glad to read it if I can pull the packet up here.
Chris, do you see Councilmember Deedy has a
comment? Councilmember Deedy.
Amy, you go ahead and I'll try to find it so I can read it.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment before you read it, and then it went right into having a vote for it. So I'll agree it's not a perfect document. You know, it started, last year? It got brought forward before COVID hit. It was discussed then. Council had a couple of documents, and then we discussed what we'd like to add into it at that time. And then COVID hit, and now we're here where we had a work study, which I wasn't at. And then the mayor suggested at that work study a committee form. And then the three of you took on that committee. But I just want to make sure that we all understand that this is a council document, that all council members have had input on this, and that three members went together to take all that input and try to format it into one proclamation. So I don't want to get it lost where it's just a three member of the council that has done this, that it is everybody's proclamation that sits on the council, and that it is a proclamation for the citizens. or by the citizens. I mean, we speak for the citizens. So this is the citizens' proclamation. So we all had our input at the last council meeting. Some of our suggestions got put in, some suggestions that we suggested to take out got taken out. And I think not to drag this on any further, I think that it would be good to pass it tonight and move forward and continue with what the city council has done from day one and is be an inclusive city to include everybody and to listen to everybody's voice and to have the safest city around. So so with that, Chris, go ahead and read the proclamation.
Before I go ahead and read it, Councilmember O'Donnell or Councilmember Oglesby, do you have anything to say? Because you're right, Tammy, this is definitely a message from the full council. Everyone has had input. We've all kind of hashed it back and forth in multiple meetings. So before I start reading it, Bernie.
Councilmember Oglesby, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just want to thank you three for working on this proclamation. It looks great. I do appreciate it being a proclamation. And I do agree with the words that you guys did the hard work and put into it. So I look forward to passing this tonight too. So great job, you guys. And yes, like you said, this is a message from the council and look forward to seeing how the public enjoys it.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, so I do really appreciate all the time that you guys have put into it, and I know that it's a lot of work and try to figure out how to say something and get the intent of what we're trying to do. I am concerned about a couple things in there, and we could wordsmith this to death. I know we could do that. And then still there would be some problems with it, right? I do worry about us thinking that we're all acknowledging that it's not a perfect document. I think we could make it a perfect document. It's not rocket science, right? I mean, things change over time. I get the culture changes, the mood of things, but you know, we stand for the following things, you know, and it's pretty simple, straightforward. I think we could get there. But in the interest of time, I know that there's been a lot of time put into this, and I don't want to throw a big monkey wrench into any of this. I know the intent is the right intent, and that's the main thing. I do worry about us saying that, you know, regardless of philosophical values, you know, well, we do have a problem with some, if we have a militia that's going to come forward and they have a philosophical value, they're white supremacists, that's a problem for me. So it's not all philosophical values that we embrace. We don't. And so words have meanings and we need to be cautious about that. But I think the intent is there. The Bill of Rights, and I want us to make sure that if we're stating that, what does that mean about, you know, the Bill of Rights, some of these things don't actually, the state of Washington Constitution does not address some of this stuff that we're quoting that is our guiding principles type of thing. And it's not necessarily the case. So I know the intent is there. And so as the freshman, I'm gonna go with it, but I do have reservations. My other reservation is the name Black Diamond is from the coal mine and the coal mines in the area and the immigrants that built this city in the first place. And we don't acknowledge that. You know, the diversity of all of the different immigrants that came together and they were together, whether they were like a family, because I come from a family of six kids and we can bicker back and forth, left and right. But when, you know, somebody else comes in and wants to beat up on us, we're all one team, right? And so I think that that was really, you know, that's the legacy that we are all living up to of who built this town in the first place. And for us not to acknowledge that, we stand, it's a, one of the important whereases. The whereas, we come from a community of immigrants. That is one justification why we believe in inclusion and equity and, you know, justice for all of the people. I feel like we're missing some important points. And I feel like some of the points that are in here are also could be taken a different way. And I don't want to give anybody opportunity to do that. With that, I know you guys put your heart and soul into this, and I know that there's time is on our sides. The George Floyd situation and other events happened quite a while ago now. We want to get this document out, and I hope that we can fine tune it over time. So those are my comments.
Okay, Councilmember Wisnowski.
All right, proclamation of the City Council, City of Black Diamond. Whereas the City Whereas the Council of the City of Black Diamond celebrates our community's diversity, and whereas we welcome all people who live, work, visit, and or attend school here, regardless of national origin, length of residence, color, race, ethnicity, language, ability, sexual orientation, gender identity, socioeconomic status, religion, or philosophical values, and whereas division, isolation, hatred, and discrimination have no place in our community and do not reflect our core values, and whereas equity, inclusion, welcoming diversity, safety, both physical and psychological, and respect for all people are the core values of the City of Black Diamond. And whereas the presence of justice, equity, and inclusion leads to our spirit of welcoming and neighborliness, and whereas we recognize the inherent dignity of every individual and that all people deserve assurance of their basic principles of human rights and equality before the law as guaranteed by the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Constitution of the State of Washington. Now, therefore, we, the Council of the City of Black Diamond, commit to lead by example, by striving to undo systemic injustices and by removing barriers to opportunity. We demonstrate this commitment by continuing to listen, learn, and act on the diverse voices and needs of our community. Furthermore, we, the Council of the City of Black Diamond, Washington, do hereby resolve to do the critical work of actively affirming our community's shared values of equity, inclusion, welcoming, diversity, safety, and respect. We encourage and invite our neighbors and colleagues to join us in affirming these values of inclusion, signed this day of November 2020 at Black Diamond, Washington.
Mayor, Councilmember De Leon wants to talk.
Councilmember De Leon.
Sure. All right. Well, with that in mind, and if there's no other discussion, I'll make the motion that we approve this proclamation tonight.
Second.
I second the motion.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy.
So with Councilmember O'Donnell's statement, I would just say that I did agree with him on the fact that I would have loved to have seen the history of the Black Diamond part stay in. I think, you know, that's where we started. That's how, you know, where we're at. And I think we're all proud of the city, you know, because it had to start somewhere and it's here today. And I think, you know, we're all proud of where the City of Black Diamond is and where it's headed. So it would have been nice to see that stay. So just my two cents before we finish this.
Councilmember Stout.
I didn't really want to have an argument, but I will maybe justify ourselves a little bit. And the discussion that we had in the committee is that yes, Black Diamond has been a coal mine community, and that was a very important part of our history and still is. But frankly, there were people here before the coal mining activities happened in Black Diamond. And the recognition and honoring of the Indigenous peoples of Washington in this area is really a complicated topic. And it can actually bring up a lot of really painful issues for people who still live here and their families. So that's why we didn't grab the coal mining part. We didn't want to isolate it as the beginning of the area of Black Diamond, because it really is not the beginning of the story. It is an important part of the story, but perhaps at another time we can have another proclamation or another document of some kind that honors all the people who have come before and who have worked hard to build this city and this community and who have given of their hearts and souls and their families to build this place. So That was our justification, our rationalization for leaving that out, because we felt like we couldn't address all the pieces with this document, with what we were trying to attempt at this time.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
I think Councilmember De Leon had her hand up first, but
I sometimes I can't tell.
Hard with the screens, I know. Either way.
Go ahead, Christiana.
All right, thank you. No, and I think actually Councilmember Stout really put it incredibly eloquently, and I know earlier alluded to saying it's complicated, and that's one of the what everything that Councilmember Stout was saying alludes to a huge portion of what's really complicated about the acknowledgement of Black Diamond's history. I do appreciate also the mentioning of the diverse group of immigrants that came also eventually to this area that we now call Black Diamond. In and of itself, that's also another complex part of our history that I think also will take another layer to really kind of process, to learn about and process, because it is very complicated. There's some wonderful parts to it, and there are some other parts to it that I think are really why we also wanted to strongly emphasize that this document is a commitment to that kind of learning and kind of that acknowledgement too, to just become better aware of the about our legacy. And we didn't want this to become a box checking thing where we just kind of go through, okay, now we got this part, we got this part, if we're not really at that stage in our work to be able to really do that work. So that is kind of why we talked about it, you know. And originally that was going to be more of a conversation, or more of possibly an original document here tonight. But it's going to take a lot more work and truly a lot more listening and learning for us to, I think, be able to say we can present this as a document in our community. And even to the point too, for Councilmember O'Donnell with mentioning the philosophical values, I really do appreciate that you're bringing that up. I would suggest that I think one thing that we look at is when the philosophical values do end up being in competition with the rest of the language of this document, that is going to open up another conversation. So it is a point well taken. And I believe that's even what I was saying the last time when you brought it up, it's a really valuable thing to mention. And that is something that we can again address moving forward as well. For now, it's fantastic that, you know, we've been able to have so many of these really fruitful conversations, because I'm hoping that's what can continue that momentum of that engagement, that learning, that realizing that just like the document, we're not perfect in this, and we're going to be doing imperfect work along the way. And that's all going to be part of this, is it is that journey, and it's definitely not the destination, to use a cliche. So thank you though.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we did have a good hard discussion about the kind of the heritage discussion about the history. And we have to admit, we have a pretty big black eye in Black Diamond around, it was either 1885 or 1895, the Tacoma method, which I'm sure Tacoma is not really proud of getting that name for, was used here in a very uninclusive way. It's probably the politest way to say it, right? They ran a bunch of Chinese coal miners out of town with physical harm. And we really wanted to kind of avoid opening that gap up and opening that can of worms, right? You add the fact that they weren't the first people here, right? This area was populated by Native Americans. And we had that black eye. We figured we didn't really want to take on that battle right now, right? What we really wanted to do was say, hey, you know what? We're putting a stake in the sand. We're going forward. And from here forth, we are going to be an inclusive and welcoming community without having to have all that kind of baggage. We're not, sweeping it under the rug. We're actually firmly admitting it. And that's one of the reasons why we changed the verbiage, right? Because we firmly admitted that we've got some black eyes in our history, just like most communities do, most states, most countries do, right? So I think that if you think about it from that point of view, I think it might be a little bit easier to understand why we decided not to include it. I think we couldn't think of a really good way to work that in and not make this document like 7 pages long of discussing, yeah, we understand this, but now we're good, right? So I think we had some hard talks about it, right? And we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But like I said, the document's not perfect, but let's not have perfect be the enemy of good here, right? I think this is a really good document that speaks well from and to many people in our community. And I think it is a good step forward.
Councilmember Deedy.
So with Councilmember Stout's statement about having an argument or anything, I don't think that there's an argument. I think that there's just like what you just did, it would have been nice to come back to the council and say, you know, we listened to the last council meeting and here's, you know, what the changes or dislikes or remove were. And here's why we as a committee decided not to add them or not to remove them. So this at least helps me and maybe the other council members understand the three of you in your meeting, what you were thinking and where you were going with it. Because otherwise I would have never known unless I sent an email and said, hey, why was this omitted? But now not only do I know, but now the public knows why that portion was taken out. Otherwise the public wouldn't have known. And I think it's good when we had two proclamations at the one council meeting. And at that council meeting, we stated that it'd be nice to have residents see them and give input. So now those residents, our citizens that we represent, will now know why at least that portion was not included. So that's just my two cents on this. You know, I didn't understand why it was included, and now I understand why you three took it out. So that's my two cents on all that.
Well, we have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a resolution adopting the letter of agreement with the Teamsters 117 Professional Unit, Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members. I have my internet connection keeps coming across unstable, so I'm going to keep my video off hopefully that doesn't interfere with anything. Before you tonight is a letter of agreement regarding the 2020 wages for the professional unit, that Teamsters professional unit. In their 2018 CBA, it contained a wage reopener area. This was a long process and it a lot of things went into play in it. We started it out in 2019 in September. There was some health issues with the union's negotiating team. So they didn't pick this back up and let us know who the new negotiators are gonna be until December. So then we picked it up and then COVID hit and there was other things going on. So we started this process up again in August. I want to say the negotiating team consisted of myself, Sophia Maybe from Summit Law Group, and our police chief, Jamie Kiblinger. I'm happy that we were able to reach a tentative agreement with the union. And I also want to applaud the union negotiating team as it was a good and fair process. The letter of agreement before you was negotiated as directed by the city council, and all other terms of the conditions of the CBA remain unchanged. The professional unit unanimously approved the LOA, and the city's negotiating team, we are recommending ratification by the city council. On October 29th, I do want to mention that the finance committee did review both these items, this one and the one that's next, and recommended forwarding to the council for consideration. I hope you all were able to find useful the salary schedule that I sent you earlier so you could use it kind of as a comparison because it's a little bit hard. This wasn't like a standard across the board where some people received a COLA, And some people receive different salary schedules. So it was a little hard. That's why I put to understand. That's why I put that invitation out to anybody who wanted to talk about it. Should council decide to adopt both these items tonight, the next step in the process would come at your November 19th council meeting. And that's where we would adopt an amended salary schedule that puts into place these two LOAs. I just want, if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask.
I'm going to make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1386, authorizing the mayor to execute the letter of agreement between the city of Black Diamond and Teamsters 117 professional unit.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Councilmember Deedy?
So I think this is really good agreement between the unions and the city of Black Diamond. And I think it's a really good salary for our employees who do a heck of a lot for the city, for the residents. They're very busy, overworked. They've got a lot on their hands. And with COVID, obviously, it's a little tougher to manage everything. I do like the fact that we have a step salary. So now employees can go in and look and say, okay, once I meet this, I can get to this area. Some employees were not being paid market value. So they're getting bumped up, and some employees are being paid over. So I believe they'll get the COLA every year. So I think it's a very fair agreement, and it sounds like the Teamsters and the union employees are in agreement. So I'm looking forward to passing this and you know, showing that that the council thinks and knows that our employees are working hard, and we truly do appreciate them. And that the city is getting income coming in, so we can do this. So congratulations.
Is there any further discussion? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution adopting the letter of agreement with the Teamsters 117 Public Works and Admin Support Units. Ms. Martinez.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council. This mirrors the action that was just previously taken by Council, just with a different bargaining unit, is the Public Works Professional, Public Works Admin Support Unit. Again, those two units unanimously approved the LOA, and the city's negotiating team is also recommending ratification. If you have any questions, let me know.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1387, authorizing the mayor to execute the letter of agreement between the city of Black Diamond and Teamsters 117 Public Works and Admin Support Units.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing a contract with Omega Solutions, Inc. for O-Court software. Judge Swain.
Yes, good evening, everyone. We are very excited to have the opportunity to move forward kind of into the 21st century with a number of other municipal courts in our area to implement this software that does a number of things. We have been using the same kind of system for court for as long as I've been an attorney, which is a very long time. We have a very clunky paper system that includes a form, and you check off boxes and you have to fill in things by hand. This opportunity to have an electronic system move in, it helps incredibly with time saving. It removes extraneous information from forms because only what applies to a defendant is what is going to show up on the form. And I know that sounds really simple, but we've been using these forms, state forms that the state requires us to use, but there's just a lot of information on them, which is confusing to defendants and can create problems. The O-Court system includes safeguards with e-forms that are used, and this reduces error and confusion and faster processing. For instance, right now, when we do something in court, we do the paper forms, we fill all that out, make copies, and then we have to go and enter it into the state system. By using this O-Court system, everything's done on the computer and it immediately automatically uploads into the state court system. And so everything's done with incredible time saving. It includes a scheduling for court, which my court administrator, Stephanie, can talk about how amazing that is. The forms, as I indicated, and it automatically populates the forms with the basic information, such as the defendant's name, case number, and other pertinent information. We're very excited to have the opportunity to have this system. And, we're sharing this system with two other courts in their area, Enumclaw and Buckley. So we're all working together as a collaboration to share the cost, which, amazingly enough, the CARES Act provided a lot of reimbursement through the office of the administrative office of the courts. And so we found out that we were going to get all of the money for the initial outset reimbursed. And it's just, instead of, almost $8,000 that the city would have to spend on this program, we're now getting that $8,000 reimbursed. So completely. So we will have to pay a yearly maintenance fee of $2,500. And that's basically shared between the 20, that's our portion of what's shared between the three cities. But we're going to be now moving up into the world where we're, here are some of the other courts that have this system: Renton, Tukwila, SeaTac, Kent, Maple Valley, Des Moines, Kirkland, Yakima, Marysville, Yelm, Issaquah, Puyallup Municipal Court, Milton is coming on now, Bonnie Lake's coming on now, Fife and Olympia, and that's not all of them. And so we're very excited to have the system. In the next 5 years, we will also be, the state of Washington court system is going to provide us with a new case management system. And so we'll be able to merge into that case management system. And so we won't have to be paying for this system probably after 5 years. And so this is just the first step into moving towards that great case management system that will be implemented, whenever it's our turn. So Stephanie, I know there's probably a few things that I left out. Did you want to add anything to what I've said?
I don't think so. I had a chance to observe this at the Issaquah and Renton Municipal Court, and it just makes things so much more efficient. Something that we're really excited about and something that we didn't think was possible because of the expense before, but now that we're splitting it with the other courts and that we do get most of this reimbursed from the CARES money is something we're really excited about. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. I'm certainly looking forward to passing this tonight. It is certainly a testament to how our whole world has been accelerated in terms of going digital. And it's really great to know that the CARES funds were able to go towards this kinds of a project, and that we can join with so many other cities on this. When I think about the maintenance costs that you were describing, I do think of it as one of those things where it might be an expenditure, but I also think of the hidden savings we might be seeing by adopting something like this, because it is a lot less efficient, not only in terms of the paper and the ink and the physical aspect of using paper, but it's also just the time being used to process these forms. And with knowing that there's, as long as there's that huge provision with keeping those documents online safe and secure, this to me just seems like another way that we're just making sure that we're going more digital as a city. So I look forward to passing it, and I'm happy to make the motion unless there's an additional council member who would like to take that on.
Melissa wanted to speak.
I was just going to say, yes, we did discuss this in our safety meeting today with the judge and everything. And I look forward to passing this as well. I think this is a great tool that the court can use to be more efficient. And I'm repeating what DeLeon said, having the CARE Act money to do this and having this to share it with the Black Diamond Enumclaw Buckley Court is awesome as well. So with that motion, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1388, authorizing the mayor to execute a contract with Omega Solutions for the Court Service Agreement.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing an addendum to valid communications agreement for 2021. Chief Kiblinger.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. What you have before you is our yearly addendum with Valley Communications, our dispatch center. As you can see, the rate for 2021 is not increasing, so that's good news. It stays at $44.33 per call. If anybody has any questions.
Councilmember Deedy.
No, I don't have any questions. Every year we pass this. Obviously, Valley Communications is something we need, and it's good that they didn't raise the fees this year. So with that, I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1389 to accept the yearly addendum to our agreement with Valley Communications for dispatch services.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a resolution suspending the city's scheduled sewer rate increase for the year 2021. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight, let's see if I can find it here. Tonight, I have before you a resolution to suspend our sewer rate increase for the year of 2021. As we've come before you with the budget and we've looked at the rate that we passed a few years ago, it looks like from my forecast and the budgets of the amount of money we received in the sewer fund from all of our new residents, and even the people, the builders who are building and have connected to the sewer, we have increased revenue in the sewer fund. And our rates were planned to be increased 10% this year. We passed in 2019 a series of rate increases for sewer because we badly needed increased revenue in that fund. And the first year we increased the rates 15%. This year, the rate increase would have gone up by another 10% or $2.50 per resident per month. So we looked at the revenue. Is there a way that we could actually defer that rate, especially with the COVID pandemic this year? It just seemed like we had people that were having economic hardships in our community. We also looked at King County had deferred their planned metro sewer rate increase. And we took this to our finance committee to talk to them about what their thoughts were on suspending this for 1 year, and not forever, but for 1 year during the virus year, and kind of joining the others who are suspending some rate increases this year. The Finance Committee recommended we bring that forward, and I have a resolution tonight that David prepared talking about the fact that we had planned the 10% rate increase for this year, and that we have enough finances that we're okay without the sewer rate for this year. It doesn't mean that we're going to never do this sewer rate increase, but at least for 1 year, we could suspend it and and then resume it if the circumstances warrant next year. So this just suspends it, and it takes effect in January, so the rate would carry on. And it, in here we said that we would, let's see, section two said we would look at it again next year, and after further review, decide, do we need 10%? Do we need 5? Where are we revenue, and what percent do we really need? And the fact that our ordinance says that we're gonna review rates every couple of years anyway, that what we'll really look at again next year during this time is, what does the revenue look like? What are the expenditures? And setting money aside for capital, I feel probably there will be a rate increase next year. I'm not positive 10% will be the right amount. But with that, I bring before you this ordinance tonight to suspend the sewer rate increase for 1 year. And so if you have any questions?
Yep. Councilmember Deedy.
So I think this is great. I think.
Could you quit sharing your screen so I can see
the review?
Thank you.
So I think this is great. It is a tough year for residents, for everybody. And May's right, you know, every couple of years we go back and we look at our sewer rate or any rates that we've brought forward and reevaluate them and see if we're on track or if we're a little high or a little low. So it'll be good. When next year, when we go back and we look at this and, you know, with what's happening within the city on development, you know, how many houses are being built throughout the city and where we are, will the rate need to increase more than 10% or stay at 10% or maybe even decrease? We don't know. But once we get to that time when we have that work study, we'll know more. But in the meantime, I think it's wise of the council not to go with that rate increase right now.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Councilmember Deedy. And with that motion, with that, I make a motion to approve resolution number 20-1390, authorizing the suspension of the scheduled sewer rate increase for 2021.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing professional services agreement with the Blue Nine Group to design engineering of the Morganville South Water Main Replacement Project. Mr. Botcher.
Greetings all. Thank you, Mayor. Well, we're excited to bring this project forward. I've been applying for grants for this. We were successful in getting a King County Development Block grant for replacement of water mains on Morgan Street and Union Street in South Morganville. The pipes in this area are either very small galvanized iron under 2 inches or 4-inch asbestos concrete pipes, which are getting beyond their useful life. So we'll be replacing those with an 8-inch loop, which will bring in fire flow that would meet the standards for this area. And we would repave the roadway. We selected Blue Line as our consultant, going through the King County Development Block Grants selection process. And the King County Development Block Grant Group had one of their employees in the interviews. And we were both very happy with this consultant, and they are very familiar with King County Development Block Grant rules and the labor portions in putting together the plans and specifications according to their needs. So we're recommending approval for that. And yeah, thank you for your support.
Councilmember De Leon.
Yeah, thank you. And I know that was something that we were able to discuss a little bit in committee as well. Feels like already a longer time ago than it was. But I think this is a really good testament to a conversation that we had a little bit earlier about some of the way that the funds are allocated when it goes, you know, and we're talking about how a certain percentage directly goes to Black Diamond and certain ones go to the state, go to the county. And this is where we see those tax dollars from the county really coming back to work for Black Diamond, is so that we can do these kinds of projects. And otherwise it just seems like a really good no-brainer that we should replace the old asbestos pipes. So with that, I do make a motion to approve resolution number 20-1390, authorizing the suspension of the scheduled, oh no, that is the wrong one. I'm on the wrong slide already. I was following along there. I was wondering if that would happen. All right, I make a motion to adopt resolution 20-1391, authorizing the mayor to execute a professional services agreement with the Blue Line Group, LLC, for the design engineering of the Morganville South Water Main Replacement Project.
Second.
Councilmember Deedy.
So the water main project, you know, the city of Black Diamond has been trying to get all the asbestos pipes removed, you know, not removed, they stay in the ground, but all our citizens into 8-inch pipes. And this will also, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Seth, but also help with the fire flow down in Morganville.
They will have over 1,000 gallons a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a great project that the city, that Public Works goes out for. They look for grants on how to improve our underground system that we don't see. We just see what happens at our faucets. So it's needed, especially in the older part of town. And great job, Seth and Scott and everybody for getting that. And then for the Public Works, you know, team out there to monitor and make sure that the Blue Line Group gets it all installed and up and running. And I think, you know, it's going to be a great thing. And I hope that all citizens in that area will notice their water pressure go up.
Council Member Staff.
We're excited to get this going, but it's a long process. We're talking about something that's going to happen pretty far down the road, but this is the design and engineering stage, which of course has to precede all the digging that happens. Seth, could you just talk a little bit about the timeline of actually getting to the point of digging and completing the project?
Well, we're going to be hustling along pretty quick to try and get it out to bid for construction next summer. That's a tall order because it's already late in the year. But we've put together a pretty good tight schedule for Blue Line. And so it's going to put pressure on Scott and his team and Dan so when they need locates, that we're out there and we're walking through with their surveyors to make sure that they get all of the information as quickly as we can. So we're shooting for construction next year. We'll have to see how it goes.
Thank you.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Yeah. Hey, Seth. So I just have one quick technical question. I won't belabor it too long. But so Councilmember Deedy, you had mentioned that we don't remove the existing pipes. We abandon them in place. Is that the case? And I guess, is that the standard? I worry about, you know, you hear sinkholes because, you know, at some point that abandoned water line is going to be, it's going to get filled with something at some point, and then that's how you get sinkholes, right? So can you address that real quick? Is that really what we do as a standard? And is that standard?
Yeah, because removing all of the old pipe, for one, is very expensive, and then you have a disposal. Yeah. It's an accepted practice for just leaving it alone under the ground. We keep track of where it is so that when there's locates, we can warn others of, well, you might be hitting an old pipe here. So it's basically a cost thing of trying to make the best use of the public's money.
Okay. Maybe we can discuss this. I like to meet with you in person at some point, and it would be great to just get a good understanding. I worry about that as we grow and we are abandoning old utilities and new developments happen, and it just seems to happen. It happens all the time. You encounter something that's buried, and as-built records aren't always as good as they should be, and you don't know what you're hitting. And then you end up with change orders down the road and all of that. And with the other contractor that's coming through, I think they got a clear path, and you have this unknown site condition, and we're paying a premium at that point, and you're in the middle of construction with a future project. So I'd like to learn more about that. I just know in the private sectors type of stuff, we try not to do that. It would be wonderful to understand kind of what your guys' standards are there.
Well, when we do encounter anything that we dig, any asbestos pipe that we dig up that comes, is broken or comes out of the trench in the process of connecting to the, or that where it's cut and we're connecting, all of that has to be come out and disposed according to regulations. And then they cap or fill the end of the pipe. So that it's not carrying water or causing sinkholes. So, yeah, but we can talk more. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
So any further discussion? Did we have a motion on that?
Yeah.
And a second?
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a resolution authorizing an amendment number 2 to the professional services agreement with RH2 Engineering regarding the 2000 water system plan. Mr. Botcher.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. We discussed this at the Public Works Committee. The committee has been going through the water system plan, and to update you on where we are in the process, we have completed the water system plan and turned it into the Department of Health. The Department of Health has reviewed it and submitted comments back to the city that they would like to have us address. And that you notice that this is the second amendment. The first amendment was to address out-of-scope items as well as meeting and addressing the Department of Health comments. That was the first amendment was within budget and within the authority of the mayor to sign administratively. This is amendment number 2, and is to address the, we also then submitted that to the Master Plan Development Review Team. They have a tough job moving all types of plats through the permit process and holding the developer to account, so they're in the middle of a very difficult job. So one of their, we wanted them to also have a take a look at the water system plan and see if there was, did it give them the tools that they needed to do their job well. And they provided comments that would help us make the water system plan better. So we'd like to get those included, get those addressed, and we'd need RH2's help to do that. So this, there's in the motion, there's an appropriation and there's funds available with in the Water Department reserves. So that would be addressed in the budget amendment at the end of the year. Thank you. We'd like to, let me talk a little bit more about the process going forward. We're going to be addressing all of the comments from the Public Works Committee, the Department of Health, MDIRT, preparing an update of the plan. And then we'll be ready to bring it forward to, I'm not sure if we'll go to council first and then and submit it to outside agencies for a comment. Has to talk to our attorney about that, but we'd still need to collect, distribute it to the outside agencies, Covington Water District, Maple Valley, Seuss Creek Water and Sewer, and the county. We're still a ways down the road before the public hearing and adoption of the water system plan. On our way. Thank you.
So with that, Seth, I make a motion to approve resolution number 20-1392, authorizing the mayor to sign an amendment number 2 to the water system plan RH2 contract to address master plan development review team comments and other assistance to Public Works and appropriate $20,000 from the water system capital reserves for that effort.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bosher. It's now time for department reports. Chief Smith.
There I am. Know how fast I was that time. So I'm down here at Station 97 down in Green Valley. A couple things pass on, try to make it fast. We've had several Zoom meetings with the study group who's working on the fire study for Black Diamond. They visited our headquarters station and we took them out for a visit to Station 98 and 99. We've had several Zoom meetings with the for the new Station 99 for mostly been working on some of the infrastructure for that new Station 99. And we also visited with the people that were developing that down at our Station 96. Let's see, in January, we will be graduating 2 or 8 volunteer firefighters and 2 career firefighters from the academy. So we're anxious to get those people on board, especially since we had no spring academy for the volunteers because of COVID. We participated in 3 different trunk or treat events, one at Pacific International Raceways, over at the Muckshoot Reservation, and also at Black Diamond. I think we gave out about 50 pounds of candy that day. There will not be a holiday engine this year. We just can't do it with COVID. Having all those people in the rigs and driving around probably isn't a smart thing to do. So we are going to try to develop something where we can have people drive, bring food by the fire stations and collect for the food banks. Our new deputy chief's been on board for about a month. And let's see. So next, one thing I wanted to tell you, next year, early in the year, I'll probably be bringing something to the council to adopt the new international fire codes. They actually should have been adopted in 2020. They revise those every 3 years. So the ones we're operating with now are from 2018. They revised those, but said that no one had to adopt those till 2021, mostly because of COVID. So yeah, be looking at that in 21. And I think that's important, especially with all the, it won't affect residential buildings so much, but I think we really need to make sure that we have the newest and latest codes with all of the commercial growth going on in town, especially what's going to be starting up next next spring. I think we're going to see a lot of commercial starting up on 10 trails. Real happy that you are moving forward with the water supply in Morgansville. One of the big problems that we had in Old Town Black Diamond in Morgansville was those very small pipes, and putting in an 8-inch water, especially a looped water main, is going to greatly improve our fire flow. And we've been doing that all over Old City, Black Diamond and Morgansville. So that's a good thing. Any questions?
Councilmember Deedy.
Chief, could you maybe introduce your deputy chief at one meeting?
Yes, and you know, we were going to do that tonight, but she had something planned with her mother. So I told her to, her mother is more important than this. So,
right.
So anyway, I think she was, she joined us for a bit at the public safety meeting today. But yes, I plan on doing that. In fact, we were in last Thursday and went in and we visited with Andy at MDIRT because I thought, I think we were going to go meet with the police chief and she was out of town. So we went in and met with the crew from MDIRT because we work really hand in hand with them out in 10 trails. So I wanted to make sure that they had a chance to meet her. So they would come in and meet the mayor and some of the council members if they're around. So.
Nice. Yeah, I've only heard last week when I met some of the firefighters helping me with my mom, they had great things to say about her. So I'm excited to meet her and talk to her about things here in Black Diamond.
Yes. Yeah. She's learning about Black Diamond. We're very excited to have her here and a great addition to the department.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. Thank you.
So it's time for the mayor's report. I've attended a couple of different mayor's meetings, South County Caucus mayors and South End mayors, and talking about moving forward, what cities were planning on doing. And most cities are planning on having some of their employees working remotely, maybe even permanently, but at least through June, and some cities are even talking about through the end of next year. And of course, we have several people that are probably going to continue to work from home for a long time. And that has worked. And some of these employees are much more comfortable working from home than they are going into the office, even though the offices are not extremely populated right now. I also attended a King County Transportation Board meeting, and we have the three boards meeting together, Seashore, Eastside, and South County, which I'm on that board. And just talking about transportation issues and what's going on with Sound Transit and our transit with King County Metro and what it's going to look like going forward, which lines they're planning on opening it up and adding different services. And we'll probably get our dial-a-ride service back shortly. And but I'm not sure about the bus route. We don't have a bus route on 169 right now. And the one that comes out the closest is the one that runs between Maple Valley and Seattle on Kent Kangley. So we don't have a lot of bus routes. So it's time for council report. So Councilmember Page is not here. So Councilmember Deedy.
Mayor, were we doing a second public comment or just one public?
No, we just scheduled one because most cities are only doing one public comment.
Okay, because Brock wanted to do a little update on his ordering for the gym. So maybe he can do it next time, I guess. Okay, so I've attended all my meetings and just a reminder that the community center is gearing up for their auction that happens. It'll happen in December, so just be prepared for that to go. It'll be a walkthrough. So many people will be allowed in, and you just walk through and purchase things. So just remember that your community center is still needs funds as well. You know, they're trying to get through this COVID as much as everybody else is, and the money that has been raised through the summer and a little bit at the auction that will happen in December will still need to carry them through until June, July. So just keep them on your thoughts, and just remember that they still need help. So that's my report.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Thank you, Mayor. I attended my safety meeting today. And to talk a little bit about the local business here from Melissa Earl that owns the Lumber House, I've been kind of brainstorming, trying to think how we can help our local businesses get us through this COVID time and into the future. I know that we are part of the Black Diamond Maple Valley Chamber of Commerce. I kind of think about what it would look like in the future about having our own Chamber of Commerce, or maybe having a line item in our city staff where we have one employee that just kind of maybe has a page on our new website that says, hey, we're local. These are our local businesses. These are our local specials going on. This is what they're offering into our community, so we can continue putting the money back into our community and into our local businesses and helping them survive this COVID time and into the future as well. So I'm very curious on how we can work together with our local businesses and our city council, and how we can continue to make sure that they are thriving through these tough times, as long as along with our community center as well. I mean, I know that's just as important, but I think our businesses are important as well. And especially being small businesses in town, I look at them and I hope and pray that they can survive through this time and thrive through the future. So I kind of wonder what we can do for them, how we can make it better. And I know our new website is coming up soon, so I wonder if there's a page on that website we can consider just to maybe just dedicate it to just our local businesses. Like the city of Enumclaw has a page that says, keeping it local, shop Enumclaw. Maybe we have a page that's keeping it local, shop Black Diamond. And we highlight those small businesses on what they're featuring. Maybe there's a possible passport thing that we do with our businesses that help people go into those businesses, get stamps. Maybe they're offering gift baskets. I know Melissa from the Lumber House has some great ideas as well. So I'm willing to have this conversation. Maybe it's a work study in the future, but I think we really need to look at how our businesses are going to thrive in the future during COVID and then after COVID as well.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
Let's see. So I attended the Public Safety Committee meeting today where we discussed a bunch of the things that we discussed in the council meeting, and we got to meet the new assistant chief. I'm glad we've got live public comments back. It's nice to hear. I know it's technically kind of awkward sometimes, but we'll figure it out, right? I mean, it's the right thing to do. We'll figure it out. Let's see. One of the other things I want to chat about is, as we look at remote work, the city does own some licenses to some collab tools and some of the other things that we've bought. Getting them implemented and up and running and maintained might take a little tweaking due to, you know, the Open Meetings Act and all that kind of stuff. But they do have kind of templates for how to do Teams for government officials, right? We probably would need some help getting that implemented, right, resource-wise. So that's maybe something that we can talk about in the future. And then, let's see, I want to commend the police department and doing the No Shave Movember thing, raising money for the community center. That's great. The museum opened up this last weekend, and they've got their new furnace/air conditioning, thanks to some helps by our friends at 10 Trails that helped put that GoFundMe together for that. That was very successful to get them to remove those, both of those old furnaces and put in a brand new furnace and air conditioning, which should help one maintain the building, but also maintain all the artifacts. And then to the small business stuff, like Melissa was saying, and well, both Melissas were saying, is that, you know, I've been thinking about a couple different things, right? Where we could do like a spotlight on a small business. Maybe every month we pick one and do a spotlight on it, right? We can introduce the owners, because remember, these are small businesses run by your neighbors or people that live pretty close to here, at least, right? And it'd be good to get to know the owners. Like, it's like if you go to Lumber House and get to know Melissa and the crew there, or you go down to the bakery and get to know the folks there, or the new grill, or any of our small businesses, right? It's, you know, or even the new nail places, which is really new, right? There are people that run those, and those are people that are trying to make a living. And if anything we can do as the city to help promote that, you know, the spotlight thing is something I thought about. We could do something on the web page or something. We could do a shop small Saturday, right? That kind of thing. Those kind of things. So I think maybe a work session. I'd love to hear public comments on it. Get from folks to what people think would work, right? What would entice them to shop locally instead of going somewhere else, or to shop at a small business. I think we really want to focus on the small local businesses instead of the chains, and how we can help them. But I think we could noodle on that for a bit and find something, especially, you know, with the holidays coming up. We could have a shop, you know, Christmas shop local Saturday kind of thing, right? That kind of stuff. So, and we could work with a chamber on that. So I think that's something to think about. The kind of other things that are on my mind right now, right? We are getting towards the holidays. It is towards the later part of the year. There are a lot of people really out there struggling right now. Be neighborly. Help your neighbors out if you can. Go get groceries for your neighbor, that kind of stuff. Let's see if there's anything on my list that I missed. No, I think that's it. I think, you know, one of the things we all need to remember right now, is this country is rather divided, is that we have a lot more in common than we have different. Remember that. You don't have to agree with your neighbor on everything to be their neighbor.
Council Member Stout.
I also attended my regular committee meetings, Public Works and Finance Committee meetings, where we talked about several of the items that were on this agenda tonight. I have kind of an organizational question. I found that I've been kind of in the dark about a few things going on in the city, and because I don't sit on every single committee. For example, the police chief, Chief Kiblinger, sent us a report of what's going on in the police department and all the amazing work that our officers are doing. But she mentioned the architectural design potential. And I'm like, I have no idea what that is about. So I asked her, and she said it's about the potential of the police department moving into the Columbia Bank building. And honestly, I had heard a rumor about that, but I had no idea that that was a plan or that anything was happening about that, because I don't sit on that committee. So I guess my point would be, as we do attend our committee meetings, if you can bring those items back to the full council and just let us know what you're talking about. In the Public Works, we've tried to let you know that we've been discussing this water system plan for I don't know, weeks and months. It's a pretty big giant document that we've been working our way through. And we've tried to report to you that we're doing that. You know, within the Finance Committee, we have certain items that we discuss, and I try to bring those back, and the other members of the committee also try to discuss those things. So I think especially when something big is going on, it's good for all of us to know that something is in the pipeline. Not just wait until it comes with an agenda bill to the council, because that's a little, I mean, of course you can read the packet, but sometimes that's a little too late also. So that's just my point. If we can be pretty comprehensive when we give our reports about our meetings. One thing we had intended to, or we had scheduled for next week to have at our work study session, a discussion with some Enumclaw High School students about a book called So You Want to Talk About Race. And we have deferred that because the students wanted to bring a book to each of us on the council so that we could read it and review it before that time. But the students have wanted to go through the books and highlight particular sections of the book that were meaningful to them. And it's taking them a little extra while to do it. So we all don't have that book. And so we deferred to not do that at that meeting next week. But I just wanted to say, I have read that book. I didn't actually read it. I listened to it, and I would recommend listening to it. I thought the narrator did a really, really excellent job of narrating it. It's a meaningful book. It's actually a difficult book to listen to. I didn't agree with everything that the author said, but she sure brought out some really amazing points about living life as a person of color in our society. And she's from Seattle, so it's not like, you know, a person who lives in a really different section of the country from where we live. This lady who wrote the book lives in Seattle. So I know that the students are planning on bringing the book to us. It's taking them some time to get the book prepared to have it in the form that they want it to be, to give it to us. But I'm just recommending, I just checked it out from the library in an audio format and listened to it. It took me about 3 days of pretty intensive listening. I don't know what all of you have time for audiobook listening, but I recommend that to you. And then they will bring us the book, and at some point we can schedule. And I just don't know when there's going to be time to do that, but I hope that all of you would be willing to engage with those Enumclaw High School students to have that conversation. So I'm just recommending you listen to the audiobook or get it from the library before the students bring you the book. And that's the end of my report. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for all of the great ideas and recommendations that have already been brought up. Now that I'm closer to the end of the line, I can go, okay, yeah. You know, as I'm just kind of thinking a little bit about Councilmember Stout's book recommendation, and of course, I'm looking forward to whenever that is the case for the Enumclaw students, potential meeting with us on reading those books and discussing the passages that they especially think are pertinent to us. This is going to be part of that work that we signed on to for with the proclamation and the statement that we made tonight. One of many opportunities, so I am definitely looking forward to whenever that is in the future. And I appreciate that it will come with taking that little time to read the book and really kind of digest it and talk with students who feel like they're especially most impacted by the work that's highlighted. So I do want to think a little bit about, as we talked about the website, what that could possibly look like for highlighting the businesses that we have. I was able to sort of talk with some of the staff members, even in our city, who are doing more on updating the website. And I just, because I don't think that they're present at this meeting today as I was scrolling through, I would be happy to just mention that I am seeing a lot of diligent work on a lot of employees' parts, just kind of like additional time to really make headway on the website. Ruby in Public Works being one of them. And I was able to talk with her a little bit earlier, I think last week. And that was one of the things that we talked about. As you can imagine, it's a huge overhaul to kind of go through all of those documents and all those scanned photos and to reconcile a lot of old and I'm going to say archaic information in with the new systems that we're creating. So I am definitely on pins and needles wanting to make sure that that website is up and running sooner rather than later. But I am feeling like that's being addressed with the limited staffing that we're having, just knowing that these are people with full-time jobs in the city who are also in addition doing this after hours in a lot of cases, in addition to their work they're already doing. So lots of hats off all around, and commendations for the staff members who are taking that on. But I was heartened to hear that that's kind of where we're at in that conversation. So hopefully that just means that the momentum is going. And then with that too, is going to be that, hopefully even that social media presence where we can do things like highlight those businesses and how to patronize. With that, I do hope that very soon, and this could be a work study, I know it got derailed from COVID, I am hoping we can really talk about the potential to create that social media policy so that it is a functioning part of our city landscape. Because I do think that that's, for example, highlighting the small businesses as our city progresses, it's going to be a good thing for that. I did attend my Public Works Committee meeting, talking about books. The water quality report is certainly one of those, you know, Black Diamond's most, you know, riveting book study, but it is actually a really great opportunity to go through that plan. I know we mentioned it before. One thing I would just highlight on there is just all of the amazing expertise it takes to really digest that, that, you know, is just a primer for me. But just knowing even, for example, how attentive we are to the safety of our water in the city is just something I want to call attention to from something I remember that was talked about heavily. And just knowing that there are other cities in other parts of the country, like, you know, was explicitly mentioning Flint, Michigan, for having these really major water quality issues. And that's something that's front and center from our Public Works Department, that we're making sure we have some of the safest water around, is really great to hear. So I guess that's just my additional commendations with what I'm hearing happening with that department. I know buried in there was an email that addressed Barb Kincaid's departure from the city. And I just wanted to thank her for all the work she's done with our city and really wish her well. She's definitely ridden a few rodeos, and I'm just looking forward to hearing that she does some really great work in her new location. And again, just best wishes there. And then I will just conclude by mentioning a little bit about the opportunity I had to do to participate in the potential, I guess, hiring process for our, you know, promotion with our sergeants in the city of Black Diamond. It was an incredibly enlightening experience for a lot of reasons, but just overall, not to overall at all, you know, sway what the final decision would be. I do want to say that there's some really, you know, like, they're all internal hires, and I'm just impressed by the level of care for the values of being present in the community in a really meaningful way, you know, and having that focus on really getting to know the city, being very knowledgeable about the city in a lot of ways that extend past just, I'd say, that the role that one would assign or ascribe to a police officer. I know that this is a big goal. And I've also, by the way, for at least a few weeks ago, had a long conversation with our chief too about issues pertaining to the budget and how it's being presented. Because hiring a new officer just during this time is a big commitment and a big thing to be kind of thinking about during COVID times. And so I appreciated that hour and a half long walkthrough. But to that effect, from those conversations, it does really impress on me the focus on that community involvement and that sense of, for lack of a better term, because it can be really ambiguous, the community policing, where I'm hoping that going forward, that is something that we can continue to just kind of promote. I'm just not sure how much to all extend, like all cities are able to talk about the kind of community engagement and presence in a really positive way that other cities have. And so I'm just hoping that as I continue to learn more about, you know, this department in particular, that I can, you know, continue to find ways that we can create the kind of culture and community that really, you know, it's goes with the values that we passed tonight, or we made a statement about, and how that also intersects with all of our departments. And that certainly includes the police department. So otherwise, that I think brings me to the end of what I was thinking of sharing tonight for my report. And otherwise, stay safe out there. It is getting darker as well. And, you know, most of us are moving indoors more. So just continue to keep up with all the public safety measures that we can to make sure that we are keeping ourselves safe during, especially this holiday season that's going to come right around the corner.
Councilmember O'Donnell.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try to be brief because it's almost past my bedtime. So my first comment would be that I am really impressed with this city council and really getting to know the public employees that make up the city. So as a new person, it's just really, it's impressive. I've been in three meetings today, all city council related type meetings, including the public safety meeting. And then yesterday I had the privilege of working alongside council member De Leon as we interviewed and played this little skit about the bad guy and the good person. And we're all concerned about, you know, this and that. It was an exercise to really interview four candidates that are all officers looking to become the next sergeant. And it was really impressive to be a part of that because Council Member De Leon was saying, you know, every single one of those candidates talked about how important community was. And it wasn't a coaching thing that they had and that they needed to talk about these certain things. You can see it came from their heart. And so I know that our chief Kiblinger, you know, and the years that she's put in here, she had mentioned that she's got the best team that she's had, you know, you can see that. So I think we should all be very proud. I wish that the rest of all of the residents of Black Diamond knew how impressive our police force is. And we should be all very, very proud because it was an eye opener for me. And I'm just honored and privileged to be a part of that. So thank you for that. I also want to endorse the ideas behind the small businesses and really promoting that. I think it's really, really important. I know that there's a chat message from Lumber House. Melissa, I'd like to meet her saying that, you know, how can businesses give back to those in need? You know, well, I would imagine that the businesses are the ones that are in need right now. And I want to make sure that we're going to take care of them. So I'm open to participating however we can as council members to really promote the small businesses in the community. So I think that that's going to be really, really important as time goes on. I think it is going to be a bit of a dark winter ahead for businesses and particularly with the COVID-19 situation. So anything we can do to help the businesses and I'm 100% behind that. And I know that there's lots of good ideas and I like to work with everybody to make sure we can promote that. So with that, thank you very much.
Mayor.
Councilmember Deedy.
So I just like to ask the council if you wouldn't mind letting Brock Deedy, who runs the gym, give an update on the King County grant, if you don't mind him doing that.
Go ahead, Brock. It's okay with me.
You hear that?
Yeah.
I told him he had to do it on his own phone, so we'll see how it goes.
Can you hear me?
No, you got to unmute yourself.
I see his phone down there.
So I got a participant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to hit that mic and it's not.
Maybe I'll just let him sit in my seat for a second and give a quick.
Hey, That'll work.
Okay, bro.
Thank you. This is kind of timely. So the first thing, big shout out to King County and Reagan Dunn for giving the city of Black Diamond a $5,000 grant to purchase some items for the city gym. So today we made that PO and we got some items. So we got a scoreboard, which is gonna be really cool for the basketball teams and for volleyball. We got a pickleball set, a speed mitten set, a ping pong table, some hula hoops, some jump ropes, and some more basketballs and volleyballs. And if you never heard of speed mitten, it's like badminton without a net. So you just kind of hit the ball, hit the little birdie and trying to keep it from hitting the ground. So great. That's really awesome. And it was really fun to go through and find some things that we could improve our gym and improve the opportunities for other people to use our gym. The second item, which I just want to get out to the public more even than the council, but Maple Valley and Covington have formed a committee and they're studying the feasibility of a new aquatic and recreation center that would replace the existing Covington Aquatic Center, the one up by the old Tahoma High School. This is to address the area-wide recreation needs. It's being paid for by a grant from Washington State. The study is being done by a citizens steering committee and a professional planning team. I've been chosen to be one of the people on the citizens steering committee. So I'm kind of representing Black Diamond.
Cool.
We had a meeting last month. We're going to have a second meeting, but the time frame is really quick. They want to have some sort of recommendation from the steering committee by early 2021, so like January, February time frame. So I want to get the public involved. There's going to be a couple of Zoom meetings that are coming up. The second steering team meeting will be November 17th from 6 to 8:30. And then there'll be a first public workshop where the public can get really involved on December 1st from 6 to 7:30. So how to get involved with those? There's a website. It's called Recreate Recreate. So it's RE-CREATE and then the word recreate. So it's Recreate Recreate. And it's I had to find it by putting Maple Valley or Covington in front of it. So if you want to get involved, go to that website, read up on it, see what's all the details, and then get involved with that Zoom meeting. The first one coming up is November 17th. And then there's one for the public to get input on December
1st. We have a work study on the 17th.
But the public can get
involved. The public can participate, but thank you for all you do, Brock.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Brock.
Do we have an attorney report?
Hello, Mayor. Yes, just briefly, I've heard a few council members tonight express some interest in finding a way to help support local businesses. And I know there are other cities who do a variety of different types of things. Either myself or another member of my firm is happy to work with any council member who has some ideas on how that might work. I'll just say that there are some legal limits on how much city funds or city resources or city facilities can be used to promote or further private interests. So we have to color within the lines on how we do that. Those things need to be done very neutrally and without favor for any particular group or type of business. But there are some things that I think certainly if council members have some different ideas on what they would like to try to do, we can certainly help you do them in a legal and appropriate way. So just wanted to throw that out there. Otherwise, no report.
Maybe. Thank you.
Yep.
So we don't have an executive session, so I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Meeting adjourned.